Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Merry Christmas, Dalton.
Merry Christmas.
I'm saying it now before I forget.
Well, I definitely will not be here next Wednesday, so...
I'm definitely not going to be at work. I'll be around, but I will not be in the office on next Wednesday.
Right.
1 week away.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it was so close. I knew it was next Wednesday. I guess I just didn't really put it together in my head.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend last night. She was asking what the date was, and I told her, and she was like, oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of Christmas shopping left to do.
I have one more gift to get. I've done everything except for one gift. So
I've done nothing because I like to wait till the last minute.
And
also, I'm horrible at gift buying. I don't never know what to get people.
It happens.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll probably get my kids something. They've been pretty good
probably.
This year. And we'll see how it goes.
You can get them like a handful of candy or something. Who knows?
That's whatever. Okay, welcome into the program. This is Prep Rally, of course. You probably know that if you're listening, but thanks for tuning in. You can find us every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Got a lot to talk about today, Dalton.
Mm-hmm. We've had a lot to talk about the last few weeks. It's been packed full.
Tis the busy season. Well, you know what else today is besides being a week away from Christmas? It's the first day of the early signing period. And so we've got some local kids signing with the colleges. A couple of particularly notable signees. There we go. Got that out. Let's start with J.J. Pegues at Oxford, the 6'4", 280 beast that runs over people when he has the football. Or when he doesn't, but had a big year for Oxford, led the Chargers to the 6A state championship. And he made his college decision public today over at Oxford High School at the gym at 8 a.m. He got it out of the way early. Mm-hmm. That meant I had to wake up early, but that's okay. But J.J., picking between Alabama, Auburn, and Ole Miss, decided to go with Auburn, which is kind of what I had been hearing the last few days.
That's what I figured as well. I feel like he kind of fits that system over there, but I honestly thought he would probably play more defense. He kind of reminds me of, like the guy right there, what Big Cat was Williams over there?
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of him, but from what I was reading in your story, which is online right now.
Yes, it is.
Looks like he's going to be playing some tight end.
That's what he said. He said Gus Malzahn going to put him at tight end. He's going to keep things kind of simple for him, at least at first, as far as how he fits into the scheme. And, of course, he played multiple positions at Oxford. He played tight end. He played running back. He played that. He would take snaps as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Didn't really throw it much. And he played a little bit on defense as well. But just a very good athlete. I mean, a guy that size. He'll be a big athletic tight end. I mean, I think he'll do very well in that Auburn offense.
Auburn knows how to use tight ends in their offense.
Yes, they do.
For years.
They do. And really, Ole Miss was kind of his leading school for a long time. I mean, this has been a long recruiting process, you know, for him. He's been doing well. He's been catching eyes for years now. And Ole Miss was probably up until just sometime this fall. He said a couple of months ago he decided on Auburn, and then that decision was solidified when Matt Luke got fired after the Egg Bowl. And he said Lane Kiffin, he never got to talk to him. And so coaching changes will always cost you recruits.
Of course.
And it'll gain you some, too. And in this case, though, it looks like it at least cost Ole Miss a shot at getting J.J. Pegues.
Well, I won't take long on this, but I don't pay attention to recruiting too crazy much. But
right.
I hope that Pegues is not Ole Miss's AJ Brown like AJ Brown was to State. You know, the hometown kid that got away and then has a super. I hope he has a super productive career. But
Well,
I could see that kind of being that same situation.
Yeah. You like to keep the hometown kids. At home, but it didn't always work out that way. So, anyway, congrats to J.J. for choosing Auburn. And then Calvin McMillan, this one was no surprise. I mean, he's been committed to MSU. He's an offensive and defensive lineman for Houston High School. But he made it official today, didn't he?
He did. He's going to Mississippi State, been committed since March. Said he's just loved it since he was a child. There was never really any question. Just he said every single time you see somebody there, it's not a handshake, it's a hug. You know, he just loves the environment, and he has a real special connection with Coach Moorhead. He said they, him and the other coaches, are texting him every single day, asking him how he's doing, and he said that really went a long way with him because he knows that he's going to be cared for there, and he's going to be treated well as a athlete and as a player and as a student. And just he's excited to get started over there.
He's going to be an offensive lineman there, isn't he? Probably.
I asked him what the plans were. He'll be on the offensive line, I'm sure. But he said that as of right now, his idea is he's going to be playing offensive tackle. But they haven't really discussed it too much.
Right.
So
had a pretty good year. I know he was banged up a little bit for some of the season, wasn't he?
He was banged up a little bit, and he had to play both sides of the ball. So right. Of course that affects you primarily. You know, as a primary offensive player, it's going to affect you if you're playing defense a lot. And
sure.
What he ended up having, I think, 64 tackles in his career. I think he had about, 80-something blocking grade, I think, last year. And then this year was about 78% blocking grade. So
yeah.
54 pancake blocks. He's a big kid. You know, I was talking to Ty Harden. He said with his size, you know, 6'6", 308 pounds, he said his agility and athleticism is impressive. And he thinks that's what the Mississippi State coaches saw.
Yeah.
He said that you got a guy that's 300 pounds but can move around like a receiver or running back, and, you know, that's attractive to people. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Calvin McMillan sticking with his MSU commitment. Okay, so there's a little bit of a signing day update for y'all. Basketball time. Let's have a little bit of a rewind, Dalton. Let's go back to Friday when Tupelo's girls hosted Ripley in a top-five battle, and Tupelo got the win 48-47. Close game.
Good game.
Haley Traylor hit one of two free throws with a couple of seconds left, and to give Tupelo the winning advantage there. I mean, these are two very, very good teams. I mean, I've seen them both a few times now, and this was just a nice defensive struggle. I like defensive struggles. I don't mind those at all. I mean, it was a pretty well-played game, I thought. I mean, Tupelo, Ripley had opened up like a 10-point lead in the third quarter, but Tupelo did find some offense and used a 16-4 run to really pull ahead. Got a really good game from Michaela Riley, who plays in the post. And, you know, I've seen her play before. She hasn't really stood out, but she had a really good game against Ripley. Ended up with 12 points and I think it was 10 rebounds. Yeah, and she's a freshman, by the way.
That's a solid game from a freshman.
It is. It is very much. Very well spoken, too. Had a good conversation with her after the game. She had a big bucket. She actually had a big three-pointer. Cut Ripley's lead to 42-41 with a little over 3 minutes left. So she can shoot the outside shot. Coach Matt Justice said she can be kind of streaky out there. But that was the only three she took all game, and she nailed it at a good time. So,
1-for-1's a pretty good streak right there.
That's pretty good. You know, and Tupelo won despite Jaleesha Florence, the point guard, fouling out in the fourth quarter. You know, this is a team that they've got girls all over the floor that can make stuff happen. And Kenzie Sharp, Traylor, and then Michaela Riley comes up big. And so, I just saw a typo in my story from Friday.
How dare you?
That's going to kill me.
Not perfect. Wow.
Oh, man. That's going to bother me the rest of forever. Just looking at it and just notice this typo. Jeez. Anyway, Ciara Jackson had a pretty good game there for Ripley. She's, you know, one of the better players in the area. Mm-hmm. She shot 7-14 from the floor and 6-7 from the free throw line. And she finished up with, 20 points? Yeah, 20 points, 9 rebounds. So just a good, solid basketball game. It was fun to watch. Pontotoc's boys on Saturday beat Boonville up at the big classic in Biggersville. Dalton, what'd you see up there? That's two good teams right there.
It was. Pontotoc really had control of this game for most of it, and then Minaj Nixon had a great game. He ended up with 19 points. You know, he came off the bench for them, but most of his work came in the second half. But in the first half, Pontotoc jumped out to a double-digit lead in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Hayes Austin and Rock Robinson, you know, two guys that have been there for them for the last, this season and last season. Each, I think, had 5 points in the first quarter. They go up 21-12. And then all of a sudden it becomes a game again because Boonville's Brighton Smith, the transfer from New Site, just could not miss.
He's good.
He is extremely good, and he went on an 11-0 run by himself, I believe.
Yeah.
To cut the lead to 1 point. I think it was 24-23 or 26-25. But Nixon hit two free throws, had a layup. Those were his only 4 points in the first half. They go up 33-28 at halftime, and then it just he went off.
Yeah.
It was 36-34. He hit on three straight possessions. Hit 3 3-pointers in a row, just back to back to back.
Wow.
And it was all within 64 seconds.
That's and all good. Of a sudden,
it put Pontotoc up by 9 points. They were up 52-45 going into the fourth quarter. And then Boonville goes on another run. They tied up 54-54. Caleb Guy, Trey McKinney tied the game. And then all of a sudden, it was just Nixon was just like, hey, you know, just give me the ball again. I'll start shooting again. He hits 2 3-pointers again on back-to-back possessions, and all of a sudden they go up 60-54. Then they just, you know, cruise the rest of the game. There's only about 2 minutes left in there, and they just held onto the ball.
Pontotoc is starting to figure some things out. You know, they beat Tupelo a few days before that, and this is a good win as well.
They are, and I talked to Raleigh Tipler about that, and he said that they're finally finding ways to hold on to games because they kind of lost their composure in a couple of early games, and they, in this one, they're up by 12, and all of a sudden, it's tie game. Mm-hmm. They're up by 6, all of a sudden it's tie game. And he said they're finally finding ways to close out those wins, and I think it's going to go a long way for them. And I think it helps, they got the football players back. Caleb Hobson plays great defense over there for them, and then it always helps when you can get a kid off the bench to hit 5 of 5 3-pointers for lead your team in 19 points. So
yeah, definitely. So good win there for Pontotoc. Ingemar's boys, I think this was this the night before Friday?
This was on Friday night. Yeah.
They beat Houston, which is a really good team, but had a big lead early. It held up. Ingemar, man, I think they're ranked second.
They're
second in our rankings, but they might be the best team in the area. 1A team, by the way.
Yeah, this game was pretty ugly early. What I have at the halftime score, I think it was 35-15.
Yeah,
maybe.
That sounds right.
35-15, and just Ingemar they just came out and they were making everything. They didn't shoot any 3-pointers. I think they had 1 3-point attempt in the entire game, and they just dominated the paint. They just go in and just layup after layup. Clayton Stanford, Zach Sugars had a fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a game high 20 points, and then Houston couldn't really do anything. Xavier Virgis, their leading scorer, got into foul trouble in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Was held scoreless in the first half. I don't know if that's ever happened to him before.
Yeah.
But down 35-15, and they kind of stormed back. They started hitting some shots. And once they got full speed and transition and stuff, there was no stopping them because of how athletic, how fast some of those guards are for them. They start scoring. They make it close, and then – but they couldn't. It was too big. It was too big a deficit.
Yeah.
20 points in high school, it's just with no shot clock.
Ingemar.
Yeah, it's basically impossible to come back. They tried their best, but.
But Ingemar is so disciplined and patient, they're not going to. It's going to be real hard to come back against them, that kind of deficit. So,
and plus, you give teams like Ingemar, and kind of like how Pontotoc did in the one I was mentioning earlier, it's like. With no shot clock, you can literally just pass the ball around so you don't mess up for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what they did. Cut off some time and then doesn't make enough time to come back.
Tuesday night, I went out to Baldwin. Biggersville made the trip down there and was expecting a pretty good boys game, and it wasn't bad. Biggersville kind of took control early and kept control, had a double-digit lead most of the second half, led by 14 at halftime. Baldwin did knock it down to 9 a couple of times there. In the fourth quarter, but Biggersville had an answer every time. That first time they got it down to 9, Brooks Brand knocked down a jump shot. Next possession, knocked down a 3-pointer. And so those were two huge shots right there for Biggersville. Really, defense was kind of the name of the game, Dalton. I mean, Hunter Stacy, he ended up with 19 points, but he had 16 in the first half, so he was really quiet after halftime. But they had some other guys do things offensively. I mentioned the Brand kid. Of course, they got guys like Talik Barnett. Really defensively, they played very well. Baldwin ended up shooting just 1 of 20 from 3-point range.
That's rough.
0 for 15 in the first half. So they were not feeding Riley Horde like they should have been. He had 6 points at halftime on 3 shot attempts. So he was 3 for 3 down in the post, but they just weren't getting him the ball. They were settling. Second half, they did a little better job. He ended up with 12. Got a few more shot attempts, but really just Bryson Pollard and Jay Taylor did a good job defensively on Horde down there. So Good defensive game, again, to hold Baldwin to 41 points. Now, they're still missing Jacoby Williams. Mm-hmm. They have Jacoby Williams, but Jacoby Williams is still out, one of their best players with that high ankle sprain. So they're wanting to get him back. Soon. They just don't know when he'll be back.
And I saw Biggersville this weekend at the big classic. You know, I stayed for every single game. And I was really impressed with, you know, of course, Hunter Stacy, you know, is averaging like 35 points this season so far. You know, of course, it's probably gone down over the last couple of games. But
right.
I was impressed with how good they were across the board.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he had 19 or 20. You know, he was their leading scorer. And they were winning against Shannon. They beat Shannon by 20 points in the big classic. But they had four kids in double digits.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the thing that I was talking to Dale Leonard, and he was like, I don't think this happened all year, you know, and it's just, it's been Hunter Stacy show, and all of a sudden now they're starting to find some other guys to, you know, get 10, 12 points. It kind of takes them off of Stacy. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, 19 for him is, that's a good game for most people, and he didn't have a bad game, but he just didn't, you know, that's kind of below, that's well below his average. I mean, he still had a good night shooting the ball, but, and he had a couple of big three-pointers there in the second half. So anyway, a good win there for Biggersville at Baldwin to remain undefeated at 8-0. Looking ahead, Dalton, we've got some good games this weekend. We've got the Tupelo shootout coming up. You'll never guess where it's at. It's at Tupelo. Just FYI. Mm-hmm. No, we've got some good matchups. We've got Tupelo and Pine Grove's girls will be playing on Friday. They'll be that late game, 8:30.
It's at 8:30. Who knows? Yeah. It could end up being later, earlier. We'll see.
Regardless, it ain't getting in the paper.
Right.
Tupelo's boys will play Cahoma County on Saturday. Cahoma, of course, won the 2A state championship in 2017 and 2018, and they reached the semis last year. They're off to a bit of a slow start this year, but it's not like the easiest schedule they're playing either. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they've lost from last year. But anyway, we got those games. We got, Baldwin's boys will be there against Hernando. Baldwin's girls will play Choctaw Central. Good luck.
Those
are on Saturday. There's just four games on Friday. And then
Pine Grove girls 10 on Saturday. Hernando is a really sneaky good matchup.
Yeah, it is on Saturday. Yeah, Pine Grove gets Tupelo and Hernando back-to-back.
Because Hernando beat Tupelo in the playoffs last year, and I'm pretty sure they returned almost everybody. And that's a sneaky good matchup right there.
Yeah, it is. And then the next week, after Christmas, we'll have some of those post-Christmas tournaments. Go ahead and talk about them now because we're not doing a podcast next week because next Wednesday is Christmas. Starkville's hosting the Travis Outlaw Slam. Mm-hmm. I believe they play that one at Humphrey Coliseum.
I think we'll get – was it Starkville versus Tupelo in that matchup, I think?
Yes, boys? We will. We've got – I've got it right here. I've got all the schedules right here. It'll be Starkville and Tupelo boys, 4:30 on Friday the 27th.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. We've also got tournaments at East Webster, Alcorn Central. Of course, you got the Kiwanis Classic that they hold every year in Boonville. They'll have some pretty good games there. Tupelo's girls will be in that one against Independence. Let's see what else we got. We got Wheeler having a tournament. Fulton, the Rumble on the River at ICC. Mm-hmm. That'll have some good games. I got all of these schedules. I went ahead and got them all this week. Like the Rumble on the River, you've got, let me see here. What's good? What's good? It's an all-boys tournament. Houston and New Albany. That could be a good one.
That'll be a really good one.
Heck yeah. Pontotoc against Florence. I guess that's Florence, Alabama. Is there a Florence High School in Mississippi?
Yeah, they will. They played for the state
championship
last year.
That's right. When I think of Florence up here this way, I just think of Florence, Alabama.
Right, I mean,
automatically.
I think of Florence, Mississippi, because I went to McLaurin, and that was our rival in high school.
I gotcha. And Tupelo's boys will play Hueytown, Alabama, in that tournament at ICC. Hueytown, Alabama.
That could be Florence, Alabama. I don't know, but
I'll check this. I'll cross check.
Florence from Mississippi had the Jalen Forbes.
That's right.
His name last year. He plays at Alabama now.
You're
University
right.
of Alabama.
You're right. Okay. So that's some of what's coming up there on the basketball court the next week and a half or so. Let's do the shout out. Let's do two shout outs, Dalton. You inspired me. I think a week or two ago, I did a shout out. Then you added a couple. So you know we can do multiple. First one goes to the Mississippi football team in the Mississippi-Alabama game that they play every year. Mississippi won on Saturday, 17-16 on a blocked extra point kick.
Mm-hmm.
Was it in overtime? I think
it was.
Overtime. Yeah, Alabama scored a touchdown after Mississippi scored.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody blocked the extra point in ball game.
Yep, that's the third one in a row, I think, for Mississippi.
Sure is.
area kid, Tripp Wilson from Tupelo, Ole Miss commit. He caught the touchdown to tie it 10-10 and sent it to overtime. And then Janari Dean from South Panola scored the game. I guess, does it count as a game-winning touchdown?
Sure.
He scored the touchdown in overtime.
Right.
So,
yeah, good deal. All right, another shout-out goes to Darren Coffey, Calhoun City boys basketball coach. He earned his 400th career win the other night. I'll have a little something on him in the prep notebook on Thursday.
He's a lot of wins.
20th year at Calhoun City. It's the only place he's been a head coach, and he's won now 400 games. Been to the state tournament down in Jackson like 7 times, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so had a lot of success there at Calhoun City, so congrats to him on that milestone. Let's wrap it up with the athletes of the week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female athlete of the week, our Destiny Harris of Hickory Flat. She had 49 points and 15 rebounds in a 73-72 overtime win against Myrtle on Friday. 49 points. And then she follows that up Tuesday with 39 points in a 67-62 loss to West Union. That was a big division game there in 3-1A, I think it was. Annie Orman had 40 points, by the way, for West Union in that game.
It's a pretty good little scoring matchup right there.
Yeah, exactly. They're both very, very good players. Male Athlete of the Week, Jackson Mills of Tupelo Christian. He had 26 points, 28 rebounds in Dalton in a 79-49 win over Vardaman on Friday. Then he came back and had 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. He almost had a triple-double in a 68-54 win over Waterloo, Alabama on, I guess that was Saturday.
I love
anyway, I
love what his position says he is right there.
Well, he plays everything.
Yeah, that's
what coach says it depends on the matchup.
Just Jackson Mills.
Yeah,
everything.
Point guard, shooting guard, forward, center, it's whatever. So, yeah, they move him around, and he does a good job. And TCPS is actually doing pretty well now. They've won 6 of their last 7. I think that makes them 7-7 on the year after a tough start.
Yeah, I think I saw the only loss during that little stretch. So
yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for coming to the game, TCPS.
You're jinxed. All right, that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for joining us. And if you haven't, if you need to tell your friends to listen. Oh, by the way, we got a pretty good. We had a pretty good endorsement today. JJ Pegues's father, Jerry Pegues, told me that he listens to the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I went up to talk to him about JJ. He's like, I knew you recognized that voice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Well, he can listen today because we had, what, like 2 or 3 minutes on JJ Pegues.
If it's good enough for Jerry Pegues, it's good enough for you people.
Mm-hmm.
But for real, we're gone now, I promise. So thanks for tuning in. You can find us every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And no podcast next week and probably not one the week after.
Yeah. Enjoy y'all's holidays.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All that good stuff. We'll see y'all next year.